Continuing our lessons on the science of the Christian life, tonight I'm going to speak on the subject, the science of safety in prayer. The science of safety in prayer. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, the very famous Matthew 7, 7. The science of safety in prayer. Now, I did realize the fact that we're going to be a little late tonight because of all the announcements and all the promotion. And I assure you that we'll get out in ample time. We'll be out at least by our regular time. The Bible study will not be as lengthy tonight because we're getting started a bit late. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, and that word asketh is in the linear. It means everyone that asketh and asketh and asketh. Doesn't mean you ask God for something, He gives it to you just like that. No, it's a linear thing. You ask and ask and ask. In fact, I think I'll read it that way. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Now, that's a very serious thing. And God tells us that He will give us, we ask, we'll receive. One place it says, ask anything in my name, shall be given you. Another place it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you will and it shall be given you. Those are very serious promises. God wants to give you things. And yet there's a danger in that. And I'm going to talk to you about it tonight. It'll be rather brief, but it'll be very important. Our Father, bless our study tonight. I pray you'd help us to understand prayer and our great God just a little better because we've come. Speak to us and teach us the truth. Amen. Sit up straight. We're going to have just about a 35-minute to 40-minute lesson and be on our way unless you don't listen. And if you don't listen, we'll be here somewhere about 11 to 11:15 tonight. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
I somehow thought you were. All right. I think you'd be surprised if you check back the titles of my Bible studies and my sermons through these years. I teach the obvious. Somebody asked Bill Harvey one time. They said, Bill was with me for a while as my music director, and they asked him, what's the secret of Brother Hyle's ministry? And Bill Harvey said his secret of his ministry is his willingness to be repetitious of the obvious. I love that. His willingness to be repetitious of the obvious. Folks don't need to know what the color of the veil in the tabernacle stands for. Folks need to know how to get their prayers answered. Folks don't need to know what the third toe from the left on the right foot of the beast of Daniel 2 stands for. They need to know how to get their marriages straightened out. Folks need to know the obvious. Folks don't need to know the brass or the silver of the tabernacle stands for. Folks need to know how to be honest and how to pay their debts. And there's so many obvious things in the Bible. And probably the most neglected and unbelieved doctrine in all of the Bible is the doctrine of prayer. Most of you do not believe that God answers prayer. 90% of you do not believe that God answers prayer. If you did, you'd pray. I promise you that not 20 people in this room prayed 10 minutes today. I promise you that. We talk about it, but we don't do it. We preach about it, but we don't do it. Bible says you have not because you ask not. And the words there in the linear, you have not because you ask not. You don't keep on asking, you don't keep on getting. Now, I want to say this. We have a loving Heavenly Father who wants to give us things. We don't have to talk God into doing what's best for us. God wants you to have things that are needful for you and good for you more than you want to have them. Your child may want ice cream and candy more than you want to have ice cream and candy, but you want your child to have healthy food more than your child wants to have healthy food. And God wants to give you things. Because He does, there is a danger. You know, we spoil our children. we love them so much that we don't want to say no to them. And because of that, it's so easy for us to give them things because they keep asking and keep asking and keep asking. And the truth is, it's not best that they have them. Now, God loves you infinitely more than you love your child. And God sometimes will give you things that he does not think are best for you because you're his child. And sometimes he'll spoil you. And so there must be some kind of a safety in prayer. Now, I'm going to give you four things that I do in order to pray safely. Number one, I tell God that if he thinks it isn't best, not to grant it. Always do. I never ask God for... Now, don't misunderstand me. If it's something that God tells me to ask for in the Bible, I don't say that. And when I pray for the power of God, I don't say, God, if you don't think it's best for me to have your power, don't give me your power. I don't do that. If there's something that God tells me I'm to pray for, then I'm to pray for forgiveness of sin. What we call the Lord's Prayer says that. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, earth in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, or forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin or trespass against us. I don't say to God, dear God, forgive my sins, but if you don't want to, if it's not best for me, don't do it. Anything that I'm told to pray for in the Bible, I just pray for it. But there are things that I'm not told to pray for. Now, in the case of those things, if I ask God for something, if I felt like I need a new suit of clothes, and I ask God for a new suit, I would say, now, Lord, if it's not best for me to have a new suit of clothes, then don't you give it to me. Now, let me give you an example. Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. The book of Numbers, chapter 22. Rather lengthy little study here, but I want you to follow me and show you an example of what I'm talking about. Verse number 1. And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, that's Numbers 22:1, on this side of Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because there were many. See, Moabites were afraid of the Jews because the Jews were so there were so many of them. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Now look at verse number five. He, meaning the king, sent messengers, therefore, unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. That's the Israelites. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. All right, listen to me. There was a great preacher, the greatest preacher of the day. His name was Balaam. He was the Billy Sunday of his day. He was what Billy Graham used to be back yonder when he was a red-hot fundamentalist preacher. He was the preacher of his day. Now, Balak, the king of Moab, saw all these Jews, and he was afraid of them. He was afraid they'd take over. So he sent messengers to Balaam and said to Balaam, come over here in Moab and preach over here, and place a curse on the Israelites. Now look down to verse number 7, and you'll see. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination. What's that? A doctor's degree. A doctor of divinity degree. A honorary doctorate, which every young preacher would love to have. And with rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam and spake unto him the words of Balak. Okay, let's, Brother Eau Claire, you and Brother Jeff come, please. In fact, stand up right there. And you can use these mics right here when you come up, fellas, if you turn the mics on. And here we have some messengers that I am Balaam. And you fellas are messengers from Moab. Okay, come on over here and get those microphones. And if you've been listening to what I've been reading, you know what to say. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Thank
you.
My name
is Hyle. How about Balaam?
How you doing, Balaam?
I'm doing fine. I'm Evangelist Balaam. I hold big citywide campaigns.
We've heard of you.
I've had great success. You all see the advertisement I put out.
Yes, sir. We've heard of you.
Yes, sir.
We
thank
sure
you.
Have.
Thank you,
Dr. Balaam.
I give God all the glory.
Dr. Balaam.
What?
Yes, sir. We've heard of you.
I'm not Dr.
Yes.
Balaam.
We have something
you're going
that
to be.
We've brought for you.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Dr. Balaam.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a ring, good, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. It does. It does.
Well, what can I do for you? Talk right in the mic, fellas.
We want to give you a doctor's degree.
Well,
yes, sir.
Well, thank you. Talk right in the mic, doctor.
Yes, sir.
I'm Doc. Well, wonderful. What's the deal?
Well, you've done a marvelous job. We've heard of your works, and we feel like you deserve a doctor's degree.
We sure have, and we have just one little request you for you to earn this.
Oh, I'll be glad to
this
do it.
Honor because we know you're a man of God, and what you preach
thank
comes
you.
To pass.
Well,
and
thank you.
There's a group of people
that
has come up out of Egypt, and there are many of them, and we just need you to come and deliver a message to them and sort of.
Okay, let's see what you stay right there. Let's see what it is. Look at verse number 8. And he said unto them, lodge here this night. I guess so. Lodge here this night. I'm going to get this microphone right here and turn it on. And fellas, you just spend the night. Look at verse 8 now. And I'll bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me, and the princes of Moab abide with Balaam. So you just sleep here and I'll see you in the morning. So I'm going to go out, and Balaam goes out. He's going to have a prayer meeting. And so he's going to ask God. Now, look at verse 9. And God came to Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? I love the way God does things like that. You think God didn't know who these folks were? I love that. I mean, God is so human. And didn't come out right, did it? He said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, and he told about it. And verse 12, and God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. So Balaam comes back. Good morning, fellas.
How you doing?
Have a good night's rest.
Oh, wonderful. Yes.
Well, I talked to God about coming to Moab, and God told me that I couldn't go. And he told me that thou shalt not go with them. And so I'm sorry, but I can't go. So you better go on back and go to your land now. I appreciate it. I'd like to be Dr. Balaam, but you go on back. Okay. That settles it, doesn't it? No, they go back. And look at verse number 15. And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. Do we have any princes here more honorable than they? Any princes ever more honorable than they? You don't want to act this out, do you? Okay, we got three here more honorable than they are. So, they come back, and look at verse number 16. And they came to Balaam and said unto him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I'll promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Okay, you guys grab those couple of microphones. And where are you fellows from?
We're from Moab.
From Moab?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, we had some guys here before from Moab.
Yes, well, we're a little smarter than they are, and we're a little better than they are, and we just wanted you to know that we want you to go with us.
You don't look as good as they do. And it says they said, I'll promote thee under very great honor, and I'll do whatsoever thou sayest. Is that what you're asking?
That's right.
Whatever I say.
Whatever you say.
Whatever you want. How much money I want.
That's right.
That's right.
Whatever kind of degree I want.
That's right.
Whatever kind of fame I want.
That's right.
I'll declare it. I can be belong to the National Council of Churches.
That's right.
Sure. Wow. Can I preach at Yale University?
Sure. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Sounds great to me. Can I conduct citywide meetings with all the liberals and the Catholics and the fundamentalists in the meetings?
That's right. That's
wow. Right. What a deal.
Put you in charge.
Me in charge?
That's right.
Just think of all the people you'd reach.
Wow. I can see it now. Dr. Balaam in charge, citywide meetings.
That's right.
Wow. So Balaam said, I'm going to go back and talk to God again. Now look, if you would please, fellows. By it says, tarry ye also this night. Spend the night here.
All right.
Now, the Bible says if anybody comes to you and doesn't bring this book, you're not supposed to invite him in your house. You're not supposed to say to the Jehovah Witness, come on in. You're not supposed to say to the Seventh-day Adventist, good luck to you. Bible says, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Go to bed, fellas. So? If you're so fired up, honorable, why are you sleeping on the floor there, fella? Okay. So, it says in verse 19, now therefore I pray you tarry ye there this night, that I may know what the Lord will say anymore. God doesn't have to say anything more. If God says it in this book, you don't have to check on it again. But he goes back. Look at verse number 19. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt thou do. Ask a question. Do you think that God wanted Balaam to go to Moab? God didn't want Balaam at all to go to Moab. Listen to me now, but God loved Balaam. And because Balaam kept on coming, here's what it was. Balaam came and said, dear God, these guys want me to go to Moab and preach over there. What should I do? God said, don't want you to go. Don't want you to go. You tell them to go on back home. They send greater fellows than the others. They come back and say, we'll give you greater rewards. We'll give you anything you want. He said, stay here. I'll go talk to God. God, should I go to Moab? And God said, okay, go ahead. Now, that's dangerous. When you have a God that loves you, you've got to be very, very, very careful. So when I pray to God and ask him for something, unless it's something I'm told to ask for, I say, dear God, if you think it's not best, don't you grant it. You folks have heard me pray in my study about certain things, especially asking God to heal you. I wonder how many of you, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many folks here have heard me pray this prayer. Dear God, you're not on trial. You're not on trial. We're going to trust you no matter what you do. We love you, and you're our God, and you're not on trial. Now, folks, when you pray, you tell God that. Don't put God on trial. God, well, I didn't get it, and I'm bitter against God. Now, the truth is, you get bitter against God, you haven't got anybody else left. I mean, you better hang on to him. Like Dr. Rice told about the fellow, maybe I told you recently, I think I did, about the fellow was dying, and the Irishman, Pat, was dying. And the priest came and said, you willing to renounce the devil and all his works? And Pat said, at a time like this, there's no time to make enemies, Father, even with the devil. Now listen to me, don't you get God, don't you give up on God. When you pray and ask God for something, you let God know that if it's not best for you, that you don't want it. And by the way, he knows what's best for you. Now I got to hasten. The second safety I do is this. I tell him that if he has something better, let me have that. Always do. Let me tell you something. Do you know it's a good thing I pray that prayer? Or do you know where you Howells Anderson College students will be going to school? Right across the street. At No Saints Church over there. Do you know that I went over there and prayed for that building for Howells Anderson College? I never saw the place out there. And I said, dear God, give me the Catholic building. Give me the Catholic building. Give me the Catholic building. And God didn't know which one I was talking about and gave me the one out there in Cherryville. But I did. I prayed that prayer. Lord, give me the Catholic. I thought, boy, what a place for a college. And there was a building over there. It looked like it would be a good building for a school. And that big old auditorium over there. And I said, Lord, I want to start Howells Anderson College there. But if you got something better, and by cracky, he did. Now, I'm simply saying, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will what? Answer thee. Didn't say I'll give you what you call for. I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that what? Thou knowest not. Now, I always, when I ask God for something, and I'm not told to ask for it in the Bible, I always tell God, if it's not best for me, don't give it to me. And then I tell him that if he has something better, you know, he may have something better. One of our staff members, I hate to tell this story because tomorrow I'll have 10, won't do the same thing. one of our staff members was having some problems financially and wrote me a note and said, Brother Hiles, could you go on a note with me at the bank? But it just so happened that God had given me a little extra money, and I wrote the staff member back and put the and said, I got something better than that. Here's the money. And I gave the staff member, don't you guys come see me tomorrow. My office will be there at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning outside my office door. And but no, you won't, because you're more honorable than these fellows over here. But now, so this staff member asked me to go on the note. But I had something better. I gave that staff member the amount of money that the staff member was going to borrow. Now, sometimes God's got some things to give you. Call on me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. So when I pray, I say, safety in prayer. I say, dear God, if it's not best for me, don't give it to me. And then I say, if you have something better, I'll take that which is better. Let me give you an example. Jesus is dying on the cross. The thief says, remember me when thou comest into thy what? Kingdom. Now, when's the kingdom? The kingdom comes when Jesus comes with his own at the end of the tribulation period. He said, remember me when you become king. Now, he wasn't thinking about Jesus becoming king then. Jesus was dying then. He said, whenever you come back, and by the way, this guy knew the Bible. This guy had probably grown up in the Jewish religion. And he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. When you come back and establish your kingdom on earth, and you reign for 1,000 years on earth, and during that kingdom, don't forget me. Jesus said, I got something better. He said, won't you go on with me right now to paradise? Hey, don't limit God. God's got a lot of things. See, God wants you to talk to him and pray and come to him and ask him for things. And God likes to surprise you. Anybody likes to surprise somebody that they love. And God says, I got some things, better things for you than what you may ask for. Illustration. Remember the Hebrew children? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were going to be cast in the fire furnace. And they prayed God to deliver them from the fire furnace. God said, I'll be dead. I'll jump in with you. And Jesus jumped in there with them. And they didn't even get the hair of their heads singed. And that's better than not going. I mean, Jesus said, I'll come in there with you. Now, remember the Apostle Paul was sick, had a thorn in the flesh. I don't know what it was, but he said, Lord, deliver me from the thorn. And God didn't do it. He came back the second time and said, Lord, take this thorn from me. And the Lord didn't do it. He came back the third time and said, Lord, take this thorn from me. And God didn't do it. But tell you what God did do. At that very time, God caught him up into the third heaven and said, I got something better for you. I'll let you see heaven. I'll bring you up to the third heaven. I'll let you see things so beautiful you can't even tell them to folks on earth because they wouldn't believe it. I'll let you hear things so wonderful you can't even tell them to folks on earth because they wouldn't even believe it. I'm saying, folks, look, if I could convince you there's a God in heaven that answers prayer, and if I could convince you that God wants to give you things more than you want them. Now, I'm not talking about rubbing a rabbit's foot or rubbing a genie and saying, I want this and I want this. And I'm not talking about that. That's garbage stuff. I'm talking about if there's something you need to the glory of God Almighty and you come to God and ask him for it, always tell him. It may not be best. By the way, this building is filled tonight with people that have gotten things from God that ruined you. I mean, there are people all over this room tonight, kept on begging, and you got things from God, and those things spoiled you and ruined you. I would always, as I always do, dear God, I want this. I believe it'd please you, and I'd honor you if I have it, but if I shouldn't have it, don't give it to me. I trust your judgment more than I trust mine. And secondly, I always say, if you got something better, let me have something better. Number three. I ask him to choose when to give it to me. I ask him to choose when to give it to me. Let me illustrate. You know, sometimes being with God's more wonderful than getting what he has. Once it was the blessing, now it is his word. Now it is the Lord. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the healing, now it is His Word. Once His gifts I wanted, now the giver owned. Once I sought for healing, now Himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. And the greatest thing about prayer is spending some time with God. Let me tell you a beautiful story. I'm going to show you how wonderful I am. You already know it, but I'm going to show you how wonderful I am. A fella called me on the phone. Left his number. I called him back. He said, Dr. Tiles, I've got to talk to you. I've got a problem. I've got to have your advice. He said, you'll give me 1 hour of your time. I'll be eternally grateful. I said, where do you live? He said, 300 miles away. I'll come up any time of the day or the night. I just have got to have your advice or counsel. True story. I'll tell another true story later on. I'll tell you when it's true. But this is every single part of this story is totally true. He drove 300 miles. He came to my office one night. He came in, and I said, how's the work going? He told me. For 15 minutes, we fellowship, and we really enjoyed each other. And you can understand why he enjoyed me. But we really enjoyed each other. And after 15 minutes, I said, now, we better get to your problem. He said, if you don't mind, could I just take the rest of the 45 minutes to do what we've done in the first 15 minutes? I said, I thought you had a problem. He said, but this is better than getting a problem solved. Folks, I'm wonderful to be with. But that's what he said. I said, I'm wonderful to be with. I said, I'm wonderful to be with. I noticed there was no amen from the soprano section of the choir. But anyway. But anyway. That preacher walked out of my office, didn't even tell me his problem. Because he and I were having such good fellowship, he said, I'll just take 45 minutes more of the same thing. If you ever get the place where you come to God and get to know Him real well, time and time again, you're going to say, God, forget what I was asking you for. I just want to spend some more time with you. And I'll promise you, ladies and gentlemen, there's safety in prayer by I ask Him to choose when to give it to me. Sometimes He wants to just... Did you ever hold a piece of meat up for a dog? Huh? Roy? Now, you think I want to starve that dog to death? Yeah, I really do. Now, I'm going to feed the dog the meat. But I want to hear him bark. Oh, you didn't bark, by the way. Woo! Okay. Now, I'm going to give... You know, sometimes God won't hear you bark. You know, that time and time and time again, I've come to God, especially out in the woods somewhere, and I've said, Dear God, there's something I really... And I'm not... I never pray for myself. I mean, I never ask God for one thing for myself. It's been decades since I've asked God for anything myself. I'm not talking about asking God for something for me. I'm talking about asking God for a loan for the church, asking God for a blessings on Pentecost Sunday, asking God for a big offering maybe for a special day like the double tithe Sunday, asking God to shake you tightwads up and make you give a double tithe. But I'm talking about things like that. But time and time again, I sort of hope God didn't give it to me because I wanted to spend more time with Him. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the average person doesn't know the slightest thing about time with God. Now, I tell you, He's wonderful. He's wonderful. I mean, just to be near Him and just to fellowship with Him. And I think about that fellow so often who came 300 miles to get my advice about his problem and didn't even tell me his problem because he enjoyed the fellowship so much. So I always ask God three things. Dear God, this is what I'm asking for. If it's not best for me, don't give it to me. And dear God, if you got something better than this, give me what you got that's better. And dear God, you decide when you give it to me. You decide how long you want me to pray, how long you want me to be with you. Sometimes God has to wait to give it to us because God knows if we get it, we won't be coming to pray very much, and we won't spend much time with Him. That's why every day when I pray, I spend so many minutes, and I won't go into this, I've been many times, I spend so many minutes every day praising God. I spend so many minutes worshiping God, spend so many minutes thanking God. I spend so many minutes confessing my sins, and I spend so many minutes asking God for things. And before I ever ask God for one single thing any day of my life, I have spent 45 minutes with Him. Praising Him. That's thanking Him for what He is. And then thanking Him, that's thanking Him for what He's done. Then confessing my sins to Him. 45 minutes before I ever ask Him for a single thing. Why? I want God to know I enjoy being with Him, but your problem is you don't enjoy being with God. And you know why you don't enjoy being with God? Because of sin. Your sin has separated you from God. A little dog one time named Susie. Her growth was stunted. She looked like a possum. She's supposed to be a pretty good-sized dog, but her growth was stunted. She got a look at Roy Moffat one day, and that stunted her growth. But no, this was in Texas. And Susie could smile. Remember? Susie could smile. She could bring her teeth up and show her teeth. Now, I'm sure she wasn't smiling, but she looked like it. One day, we had a log in our backyard, a hollow log. And one day, Susie did something bad. And she went out, and she hid from me in the log. And I went out, and I said, Susie, come on, Susie. And Susie stayed inside the log, and I tried to get in and couldn't get her, and she just smiled. And that's the reason you run from God, because you've done something wrong. Now, the honest, simple truth is, God's people don't spend much time with God. Well, you sit over the house, when you spend time with God, what do you do? Well, start off telling Him how wonderful He is. I'll guarantee you, I say it 50 times a day, you're wonderful, I love you, you're a wonderful God, I love you. I'll guarantee you 50 times every day I say that. Tell Him how wonderful He is. He loves to hear it. And He puts Him in a better mood to give you what you ask Him for, too. I'm saying safety. First, when I ask God for something, I tell God if it isn't best not to grant it. And second, I tell God if He has something better, give it to me. And third, I ask Him to choose when He gives it to me. And last, and briefly, I ask Him to let me keep the burden if I need it. And if I don't need the answered prayer, let me keep the burden. Let me illustrate. Becky, I probably don't know anybody who suffers any more than Becky does, our oldest daughter. Becky has lupus, but it's the kind that affects you outwardly like rheumatoid arthritis. And inwardly, it attacks the vital organs of your body. Sometimes Becky... You folks that have arthritis can understand the pain of arthritis. Sometimes it hits her right in the face. And her face is attacked with an arthritis. I can't describe it. She said, Dad, I can't tell you. It's like arthritis in the face. One day she's having a real tough time. She met me at the airport. I was down there to speak. And she met me at the airport. She was really suffering, and I could tell it. I said, Puddin', you're not doing very well, are you? She said, Dad, I'm having a tough day. But she said, Daddy, it's wonderful. And I said, what's wonderful? She said, Daddy, I feel sorry for everybody that doesn't have lupus. She said, Daddy, she said, the sweet fellowship that I have with God I've never had before. And I always tell God, if I need to suffer, let me suffer. If I need the burden more than I need the answer to the prayer, let me have the burden instead of the answer to prayer. Now, God loves you. And God's got some things He wants to give you. But there are some dangers. And there are some safety precautions that you ought to take. And those four things I do every single time I ask God for anything. I tell Him if it's not best, don't grant it. I tell Him if He has something better, I'd rather have that instead. I tell Him that I'll keep on praying and He can choose when He gives it to me. And I'll keep on praying till it does. And I ask Him to let me keep the burden without the answered prayer if it's best that I do it. May I say this and I'll be through. I've been praying a long time. God taught me two things when I was a kid preacher. Two things. Number one, he taught me how to get things from God. And number two, he taught me not to keep them. As a kid preacher. And I'm not sure what the reason I have the first is because of the last. I thank God, as a young preacher, 21 and 22 years of age, I was thrust at the mercy of Almighty God in the battles of the ministry and the needs of the ministry. And I thank God he taught me as a kid preacher how to get things from God. And he taught me not to keep them when I get them. Your life will be 10,000 times richer if you'll ever learn that there's a God in heaven and if you'll ever get to know him personally. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, I know whom I have believed. I love that. I know whom I have believed. Illustration. The other day, I was flying to the West Coast. I got on the airplane. I trusted the pilot, but didn't know him. Didn't know whether he was tall, short, bushy, or bald, round, or skinny. Didn't know, handsome, or ugly. Didn't know. But I got on the airplane. We're up in the air, 35, 40,000 feet in the air, flying toward the West Coast. The door opened, the cockpit. Pilot came out. I was sitting up in the front in the first class section. I'd used an upgrade. I got a free, because I fly so much, every once in a while I can get free upgrades, and I was sitting up in the first class section. Pilot came out, and he sat down beside me. About there's nothing up there running the show, you know. And I asked him, and he sat down. He said, what kind of business you in? And I told him. And I found out that he was a Christian. And we got to talking. And I found that he had heard me preach somewhere years ago. And we had the finest time. And I thought about that scripture. I know whom I have believed. I believed on him before I knew him. I didn't know Jesus when I trusted him. But I know him now. I know whom I have believed. Now, folks, more than you need education, and you need that, you need to learn how to pray. And more than you need money, you need to learn how to pray. And more than you need a place to live or clothes to wear or food to eat, you need to learn how to pray. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I can stand here, and I won't, but I can stand here for hours and hours and hours and tell you the good things that God has done for me and the good things that God has done with me when I take time to pray. Sometimes I'll just burst out and say, wow, you're great. You're great. What a wonderful God. Sometimes I'll say, aren't we having fun? He always says yes. And he walks with me and he talks with me. And he tells me I am his own, and the joys we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. A wonderful thing to pray. But be careful. Ask him not to give it to you. It's not best. Ask him to give you something better if he has something better in mind. Ask him to choose when he gives it to you. And ask him if you need to keep the burden, if the burden is more important to you. Ask him, let you keep it. Shall we stand, please?